The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 25 and finish at verse 34. Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and in all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
I've not had a great week, so if I seem a bit grumpy, I apologise in advance. I once heard a pastor describe pastoring a church like herding cats. And I've got to tell you, this week, this church has been like herding cats. That one person wanders off, and you go and you sort them out, and you deal with them, and you come back, and four more have gone off. So you go and you deal with them, and you bring them back, and someone else has... And it's been a bit like that. And I've known what it's like this week when Paul said, having described the trials of his ministry, of shipwrecks and trials and beatings and persecutions and floggings. And right at the end he says, and on top of all this, I have the daily worry of my concern for the church. That I know I say don't worry, I know I say don't be anxious for anything, but bring everything in prayer to him. But actually, you know, just doing this job sometimes has been a bit of a worry. And we're thinking in this series over this few weeks about anxiety and about worry and about dealing with worry as Christians. And we're going to start the PowerPoint if we can. We've been dealing with this series, My Troubled Soul, dealing with anxiety as Christians. And we pointed out in the first week and in our first Bible study, which is going along with these, that word worry in Greek, merimna, means to be distracted. So it's not talking about necessarily about just the feelings that all of us get assailed with sometimes. But then what we do with those? Do we get distracted? Do we get taken aside? Do we start to act in a way that's different because of the worry that's coming on us? And my prayer, and I'd ask you to pray for me, is that as I merimna, as I, you know, have some weeks are fantastic and some weeks are not so good, I won't get distracted as pastor from what God has called me to. That actually, you know, somebody said to me this morning, how are you? And I said, I want to go back to social work, which is my code for I've not had a great week. No, I don't. I really don't. God's called me to be pastor here. So will you pray for me that I won't get distracted? And you as well, as worries come along, that you won't get distracted from what God has called you to. A few years ago, I was reading a novel set in the American Civil War. It's based on a true story. And in the part of the story that I'm thinking about at the moment, two of the main characters are sat by a campfire the night before the Battle of Fredericksburg in Virginia. And one of these characters is an old veteran Irish sergeant. He's fought in the British Army for years and years, and he's decided to leave Britain and go to America. And he's gone to America and he's arrived just in time for the Civil War. He's been conscripted into the Northern Army and made a sergeant, this experienced soldier, been in many of Britain's colonial wars. And he sat there with a young captain. It's his first battle. He's never been in war before. He's never been in battle before. And they're talking about the day that's to follow. And it gets to one point, and they've been talking for a little while, and the sergeant says to the captain, to the young man, I think I'll go and get some sleep. And the young officer says to him, how can you sleep at a time like this? And the sergeant replies to him, sure, all the worrying in the world won't turn aside a bullet, but a lack of sleep will lead to some mighty big mistakes on the morrow. Worrying isn't going to change anything. In fact, it might cause me to make a mistake. It reminds me of the Serenity Prayer written by Reinhold Niebuhr that was adopted by Alcoholics Anonymous, and many of you will know it. The prayer that says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Why worry about things you can't change? Why pour energy and time and emotion into something that you can't change? Today, we're talking about Christians worrying about the future, anxiety about what's around the corner, worrying about tomorrow. When times seem uncertain, when it seems that there's distress just ahead, when we know that tomorrow is going to be troubled, how do we keep that peace and that joy within us that Jesus has given us? Jesus said, you know, my peace I give to you. How do we keep that peace when we know that trouble may be ahead, when we're worried about the morrow and what may come? How, in those circumstances, do we follow Jesus, his command do not be worried? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry, he says in verse 25 of the reading we've had today. How do we keep that command when life ahead seems uncertain? You only have to turn the news on at the moment to see how uncertain the world is that we're living in. The financial markets of the world, it seems in meltdown. And every day brings a new crisis and a new low. The future seems more bleak. You know, I'm getting really fed up of getting letters from the Baptist Pension Fund that, if you paraphrase them, basically say, you better not be planning on retiring any time in the next 20 years because there's no money for a pension for you. The future seems bleak. With cuts and worries about jobs, with cuts in teaching and in our schools and in budgets, student loans going up, the cost of going to university getting higher, worries about our health system. On top of that, international terrorism, security at home, the rise, some would see, of militant Islam as being a real danger in our country, worries about our health, worries about aging, worries about our children, worries about elderly parents, worries, 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 more and more and more, and the future can look pretty scary when you look at it like that. And yet Jesus says, do not worry. You know, there's a lot of things that all of us could worry about. But amidst all that potential anxiety, Jesus very clearly says, do not worry. Not worry a little bit. Not be concerned that there might be one or two things I can't handle that you've got to worry about without me. Not be anxious just about one or two things, but leave the rest. No, do not worry. Not if you're a worrying kind of person with a nervous, anxious heart, then it's okay if you worry, but everyone else said, no, do not worry. Don't worry. I'm in control. I've got you covered. Do not worry. That's tough teaching, isn't it? Is it, Andy? Tough teaching. Shouldn't sit in the front row. There we go. A few of us went to a day's conference this week, a day's teaching on Tuesday, Wednesday, and the speaker was great. He was very enthusiastic. If you think I walk around a lot, you should have seen this guy. He was basically running. But he'd halfway through a sentence, he'd walk up to someone and say, don't you think? I tell you what, I didn't sit in the front row for long. It was tough teaching. I know things are tough. I know things are worrying. I know stuff is hard. But do not worry about your life, about what you'll eat, about what you'll drink, about your body, or about what you wear. That pretty much covers it. Don't worry for anything. It's a bit like, you know, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It just seems unhelpful teaching. I don't know if you know the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in Douglas Adams' book. But this book, The Hitchhiker's Guide, which is the guide to everything in the universe, has on the cover, it says in big, friendly letters, the words, "Don't panic." And in the book, as the world is ending, as everything's being destroyed, the character turns the book on, and what does he see? Don't panic. Just not helpful teaching. Of course you're going to panic sometimes. And here, Jesus seems to be saying, don't panic. In a spiritual sense, it doesn't matter what's coming along. You may have worries about clothes and life and food and family and all those things, but don't panic. Don't panic. It's counterintuitive what Jesus says. Yes, there are things in life to worry about, but don't sweat them. I'm in charge. And I want to just look at a few of the reasons that Jesus picks out in this passage as to why he says panicking or being worried or being anxious, being concerned, is not helpful. And that's what Jesus does in this passage. He goes on to talk about how we deal with not worrying. But in this passage, he really starts to say why it's not helpful to worry when these situations come along. And the first and the most obvious reason there in verse 27 is to simply say, you know, worrying doesn't change anything. You can worry all you want, but it doesn't actually change anything. Verse 27, Jesus asks this really blunt question. He says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? If we were to read this part of Jesus' teaching in Luke's Gospel, we'd see that Jesus adds another line. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this one little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Your worrying doesn't change anything. Glenn Turner, the New Zealand international cricketer that those of you of a certain age will remember, was once asked if he was worried about an upcoming match. He said, no, worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worrying doesn't change anything. I remember one night on exercise when I was at Sandhurst at the military academy, and I was out on stag, I was on watch. We were out on exercise and we were out on the training ground down on Salisbury Plains, and it was just lashing down. It was cold, the rain was coming in sideways, and where it hit, it was freezing. It was the first week in December, and it was cold, and it was wet, and I was tired, and it was miserable. And the army issued these waterproofs, and the rain finds every gap in them. You know, I was soaked to the skin, and it was 3 a.m, and I just had enough. And the guy that I was sharing guard duty with was a medic who'd been in the army for years and years and years as a private soldier, as an NCO. And he'd left the army and he'd gone into National Health, and now he joined the TA and he was coming in as an officer. So he was going through the officer training course with us. And him and I were on stag just there, and we were on duty. And I'd just had enough. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go get in my bed and get a warm cup of tea. And I turned to him and I said, how do you cope with this? You've done this for years. How do you cope with this? And he said this. I'll never forget. It's probably the best advice I was ever given. Worrying isn't going to stop the rain. And the rain isn't going to make the army call the exercise off. So crack on. Worrying about the rain isn't going to stop the rain falling. And just because it's raining, you don't think the army are going to go, let's go inside, do you? So crack on, army speak for get your head down and just carry on. Andy over there is an ex-Royal Marine. He'll know the phrase, crack on. Get on with it, because you can't change it. All your worrying, all your anxiety, all of your concern isn't going to change anything. So crack on. You know, the average person, I worked this out, this is how sad I am. The average person lives for approximately 99,000 hours. just under 100,000 hours. If you live to 78, you'll live to almost 100,000 hours in your life. And Jesus said, you know what? All of your worrying in that 100,000 hours of life isn't going to add one. So if you can't do that, why do you worry about everything else? You cannot add 1 hour to your life. Don't give your life over to worry, because it won't change anything. So the first reason Jesus says don't worry is it's not going to do anything. You can worry all you want. You can let worry change your life. You can let it change your behavior. You can let it change the way you worship, or the way you give, or the way you pray, or the way you come to church. Oh, I'm too worried to come to church this week. Oh, I'm so worried about my finances that I'm going to stop giving. Oh, I'm so concerned about the amount of work I'm doing, I think I'll give less time. Jesus says, you know what? Why let worry change the way you live your life? Because it doesn't change anything. But then, dropping down a few verses, the next thing that Jesus says is that when Christians give themselves over to that kind of worrying, what they're actually denying is that God is in charge. He says it's a lack of faith. In verse 30, Jesus says, if God clothes the fields with flowers more extravagantly than Solomon was clothed in all of his splendor, don't you think he's going to look after you? Oh, you of little faith. He says, listen, when you worry about these things, about money and clothes and life and all the things that life brings along, when you worry about these things, you forget that God in heaven is your Father. And if he clothes the fields in splendor, don't you think he's going to look after you? And then he's got this really harsh little bit on the end. Oh, you of little faith, your worry shows you lack faith. When you worry about these things, it shows your lack of faith. About 10 days ago, I was having dinner with John Birch. And I was coming home, and I was feeling guilty about something. And as I was coming home, I passed a flower shop. And outside the flower shop was this magnificent bunch of flowers, this display of flowers. And I hadn't bought Claire flowers for ages. And so I thought, I'll pull over and I'll get some flowers. Men, I'm sorry if this is going to get you in trouble, okay? But I'm sorry, you know, this is what I did. I was driving, because right now I just saw about a dozen heads all go, when's the last time you bought me flowers? But anyway, I was driving home for lunch with John Birch, and we'd had a meeting down in the bay, and I was driving home, and I passed a flower shop, and there was this fantastic display, and I thought, I haven't bought Claire flowers for ages. So I stopped, and I pulled up, and I went in, and I got the flowers, and I brought them home. And I put them behind my back, and I walked in, and the first thing I noticed was that on the hall shelf, Claire had bought a bunch of flowers, and there were flowers in the hall already. But I walked through to the kitchen, and I said, I've got you some flowers. And she said, what have you done? I said, nothing. Nothing. I just thought I'd bring you some flowers. She said, you haven't done that for a long time. You sure? I said, no. Yesterday I came in. I'd been preparing tonight's sermon, and I'd been out for a walk, and I came back in. And as I walked up the path to the house, the flowers were in the bin, waiting to go off to the landfill or the incinerator or wherever they get taken off to. These beautiful flowers that God had poured so much love in and delight in and joy in. These beautiful, wonderful, they were lilies, and the scent when you walked in the house was just overpowering. This incredible piece of art that God had poured himself into. And it's in the bin today. And Jesus says, don't you know, God clothes the flowers, like the fields like that. He pours all of that into the field, and it gets dug up and cut down and thrown on a fire. Don't you think he loves you more than that? Don't you think he's going to care for you more than that? When we worry about money or food or clothes or houses or jobs, we forget that our Father in heaven loves us. And he knows our needs, and he cares for us, and he's going to look after us. And he's not going to take care of all of our wants, but he is going to take care of all of our needs. You know, sparrows cost 2 a penny, and God feeds them. The fields, the grass gets cut and burnt, and God clothes them. Don't you know that your Father in heaven knows your needs and is going to provide? A couple of weeks ago, it was my 10th anniversary since I came to the church as a pastor. And a member of the church gave us a gift. At the end of the service, they gave me an envelope, and it had a card in it. And I took it and I put it in my pocket. And when I got home and opened it up, it just said, you know, thanks for being here for the 10 years. We want to pray for you. And inside was a check. And it was a really generous gift that they'd put a check in. And I showed it to Claire, and she said, what should we do with it? And I said, I'll tell you what, let's put it to one side for the moment. We're thinking of going to Africa next year as a family to hopefully go out to Uganda and see the Lathams. I said, let's put it towards that, because it's going to cost a lot of money to do that. It's going to cost £4,000 to do that. So let's put that to one side and start a fund. She said, okay, well, we'll do that. Wednesday was driving back from this conference that we'd been at. And something went wrong with the car. The car broke down. So Thursday morning, I took it into the garage. I knew there was a tyre need changing. There was another. And I said, something wrong. And they took the wheels off, and they took the tyres off, and they said, oh, your brakes have failed. This car's not safe to drive. I said, how much is it going to cost? He said, well, I don't know. I'll phone you when I've looked at the parts. So I walked home, and about an hour later, the phone goes, and he says, I've got the bill. I said, how much is it? Guess how much it was. To the penny. To the penny. The cost of the car. God had already put the money into our bank account a week earlier. God knew before I did what my need was going to be, and he touched someone else's heart in the congregation to put the resources I needed into my bank account in good time. Last week, the money I needed was in somebody else's bank account. Maybe next week the money you need is in my bank account. That's what it means to be a community. That's what it means to be the people of God. But that's what it means to serve a loving Heavenly Father as well. Why do you worry about these things, Jesus says? God can provide. Why don't you believe it, O you of little faith? So first of all, worrying doesn't change anything anyway. But secondly, God's in charge. And when we worry, it denies that God is able to do things. But thirdly, and I'm coming at this slightly sideways at the text, but worrying about things just drains us. It doesn't change anything. It doubts God's ability, but it drains us. It saps our energy. It draws our resources into the thing that we're worrying about. Jesus says here, and I love what it says in the NIV, the pagans, the other nations, the people who are not God's people, run after these things. The Greek word, it means to seek diligently, to spend a lot of time on it. It means to really go after it. But the NIV, I love the way the NIV translates it, the pagans run after these things. They wear themselves out, they drain themselves worrying about these things, trying to provide for themselves. When we worry and run after things, it saps our energy. The 19th century politician John Lubbock once said, a day of worry is more exhausting than a day of work. It takes our energy. Worrying about things you can't change anyway, and which God is in charge of anyhow, will drain you of your physical energy, of your spiritual energy. And the problems that you worried about all night and laid awake about all night, not sleeping, are still going to be there in the morning anyway. And all you end up with is a lack of sleep. Jesus says, you know, let other people run after these things. Let them, you know, I've got to restart training. I had a back injury a year ago and I stopped running doing the press-ups and the sit-ups and going to the gym and all that. And in just over 2 years' time, the regiment's due to deploy overseas again, and I would really like to go. And so I've got to start training again now to pass the fitness test. I hate running. I can't think of anything I'd rather do less than run, to be honest. I just loathe it. And I can see a bunch of you there going, yeah, me too. I know some of you really get off on running, and you think it's the greatest thing, and you love the buzz of running. I don't get that. I hate it. You know, I just drag myself into the house at the end, sweating and panting and not able to get a word out. My legs, I loathe it. I know what it means to wear yourself out running. Jesus says, why do you do that to yourself spiritually? Why do you arrive at your destination run out and worn out and spiritually sweaty and aching all over, and you've still got the problem there anyway? Jesus says, don't worry. It won't help. It'll just drain you. And then fourthly and finally, Jesus reminds us that each of us has got a calling and a purpose in life, that God has placed each one of us in his body for a reason. And worrying distracts us from that. It stops us doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. We have a calling, and Jesus outlines it here. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Our first priority is to serve King Jesus and his kingdom. And when we're anxious and self-absorbed and worried, and we're concerned about the future, it becomes so much harder to seek the kingdom of God when we're seeking to provide for ourselves. I spoke at the beginning of the sermon and a couple of weeks ago about this Greek word that the Gospels use that we translate worry. The word is merimna. And it comes from another word which means to be divided into parts, to be split up into parts. And the idea is, when you worry, that your brain, your mind, your effort, your focus is divided into parts. That you're concerned about several things. That your worry divides your attention. When Jesus talks to Martha and she's getting upset that Mary isn't helping out in the house, and there's a dinner party on, and Mary's sat at Jesus' feet and Martha's around in the kitchen banging the pans, and men, you know this one. What's the matter, Martha? Nothing. Now, come on, what's the matter? Nothing. It's fine. It's not fine. What's the matter? She's not helping. We've got this dinner party on, and it's not fair because I'm in the kitchen doing all the work, and she's just sat there listening to you, and I want to sit out there, or I want her in the kitchen, and it's not fair. And Jesus says to her, you're distracted, you're divided in your mind, and you're upset by many things. But what Mary's doing is by far more important. You're distracted, your mind's divided, you're worrying about the situation. The word there is merimna. You're divided and distracted. But Mary has chosen the better part. She knows what she's doing. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And when we give ourselves to distraction and worry and division of our mind, it's really hard to do that. It distracts us from our primary purpose. Jesus says, don't worry. It doesn't do any good. Denies that God's in charge. It will wear you out. And it stops you seeking the kingdom of God with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul. Jesus finishes off this little passage by saying, you know what? We've all got enough on our plate today without worrying about tomorrow. For some reason, this is one of those verses that I've just memorized in the King James Version. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've got enough worry today without worrying about tomorrow as well. And worrying about tomorrow will stop you doing the things you're supposed to be doing a day. Today, each day has enough trouble without worrying about tomorrow as well. And in that, seek first is not only a reason, these four reasons why not to worry, but it's also the solution, how to go about not worrying. And we'll look at this over the next few weeks. Seek God. Seek God. Seek God. Seek the kingdom. Seek its righteousness. Pursue that. Run after that. Don't worry about the money. Chase Jesus. Don't worry about the house. Chase Jesus. Don't worry about the kids and the clothes and the car and the job and the economic situation. Chase Jesus. And that other stuff, God will add to you. He will take care of if you seek first the kingdom of God. Pat Schroeder, one of the very first ever women in Congress in the United States, once said, you can't wring your hands and roll up your sleeves at the same time. If you're worrying, then you're probably not working. If you're giving yourself to anxiety, then you're probably not worshipping the way you should, or witnessing the way you should, or working for the kingdom the way you should. When I was preparing the sermon, you probably gathered that I went to my Oxford Book of Quotations and looked up worry and got all these quotations on worry before I started. And you know, my absolute favourite was this one. Of all the great minds, this was my favourite. Let's have the next slide. Charlie Brown. I've developed a new philosophy. I only dread one day at a time. Jesus said, don't worry. God's in charge. Take one day at a time. Trust in the one who loves you. Put your faith in the one who's kept an eye on you. You're different to the pagans. You're different to the rest of the world. That's one of the things I want to say to people when they come to me terribly and say, what difference is your faith making in this situation? Are you different from your neighbour who doesn't have faith? Because your faith ought to make you different. Jesus says, you're different to the pagans. You're different to the rest of the world. You are kingdom people with a king who's powerful, who's in charge. So don't be like the rest. I tell you, don't worry. It doesn't do any good. God is still on the throne, and he's going to look after you. And that is my testimony. That's my testimony. Some days I've not thought I've got enough money. I've never gone without food. Some days I've thought there's not enough in the bank account. My kids have never gone to school without shoes. And that's your testimony too. There's been tough times, yeah. But God does provide. So do not worry about tomorrow. But seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and leave the rest to him. Amen. May now God's blessing and peace and joy go with us this week. May we know his presence every step of the way. May we walk in the path that he sets before us alone. And in our lives and in our church, may we give glory to God in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And together, let's say the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.